Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to the Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. This week, we're going to be talking about the controversy of the appearance of Jill Stein collaborating with the Democratic Party in recounts where Hillary Clinton narrowly lost in the states Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And we'll be talking to the national co-chair of the Green Party USA, Andrea Merida Cuellar. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with Andrea.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, for my terrible gringa pronunciation, can you say your whole name and then tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Andrea Merida Cuellar. I am one of the national co-chairs of the Green Party of the United States.
And what brought you to the Green Party? You're national co-chair, so what were your steps to get there? That's quite an important position.
Well, you know, we tend to not see it as all that important because we try to be as grassroots as possible. But I came to the Green Party several years ago. I was a registered Democrat. At that time, I was actually the co-chair of the Progressive Democrats of Colorado, which was a caucus of the Democratic Party in Colorado. Right. And I had been elected to the school board in Denver. I was on the board of education there, and really started to see the Democrat penchant for privatization of schools and busting up the teachers' unions. In the midst of all that, I really saw that there was no quarter for anybody who wanted to respect the commons and protect the commons. And so left the Democratic Party while I was in office, became Denver's first elected official registered as a Green Party voter. And kind of the rest is history. Got involved locally in the Denver chapter. I also serve as the co-chair of the Green Party of Colorado. We've experienced a lot of growth and, you know, a lot of positive things. But this was really not really being able to find, as I said, any quarter within the Democratic Party, whether you were working class, whether you were a progressive that wanted to protect the commons, or, you know, anyone who wanted to enfranchise the voices of the oppressed. Of course, in my case, I'm Latina and was very much an advocate for Latino participation in the party and got rebuffed at every turn. So it just wasn't the place for me anymore. And so I just came on board and, been organizing, been trying to grow locals and state parties and that sort of thing. And here I am.
It's interesting. You're talking about the Colorado Green Party. In 2008, the Democratic National Convention was in Denver. And that's when I was running against Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco as an independent. And then my friend Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente were the Green Party nominees for president and vice president. So right. I was invited to an event hosted by the Colorado Greens. And they were going, it was a fundraiser for Cynthia and Rosa. And then when I got there, Cynthia was in tears and she told me that the Colorado Green Party wasn't going to endorse them because they were registering gang members and they didn't, the gang members didn't follow Gandhian principles. And so
right.
I got up on stage and I said, why don't you change your name to the Colorado White Party? And then I'm so glad to see that you're bringing diversity to that. I mean, Colorado isn't white. It's diverse, especially in Denver. And I'm really glad that you're bringing that diversity and energy to the party because they really needed it.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, I think Cynthia and Rosa got dealt a raw hand. You know, Colorado is actually more white than you might think, especially.
I know.
You know, we have it just blows me away, right? I mean, the name of our state is Spanish Colorado.
Right.
When it was founded, when it joined the Union, it was the only state that had a constitution that was written in English, Spanish, and German. You know, we have counties that have last names or that are names of in Spanish. And yet, you know, we have a real neoliberal governor who used to be the mayor of Denver, extremely facilitating neoliberal policies. You know, there's a lot of gentrification in our metro area. And so Denver has become just increasingly more, shall I say, hipster and petty bourgeois, right? And demographically speaking, that particular economic segment tends to be more white. So you can imagine what Denver's starting to look like.
Same with California. California, only in the big cities, are diverse, but gentrification is obsessive here too. And even though we have a Democratic governor, very neoliberal also. So thank you for that analysis. But the reason I wanted to talk to you is because there's a big controversy happening right now. And it's not just in the Green Party, even though Jill Stein, your nominee for the last two presidential, the Green Party nominee for the last two presidential cycles, is the one who is facilitating this. It's not supported by a lot of people in the Green Party. And this is something that, Andrea, I have never, ever seen Jill Stein on my TV. I don't really watch corporate media, but last night I was at a Mexican restaurant eating dinner, and she was up there talking about the recount that she has, institute, or I don't even know what the proper word is.
But filed for, maybe?
Pardon me?
Filed for?
Filed. She filed a recount in Wisconsin, for the 2016 presidential election. And I'm not sure if she was able to file in Pennsylvania or Michigan, but I knew that was their goal. And so talk about, first of all, explain the recount, the mechanics behind it, and then we'll talk about the reasons for it and the reason that it's causing controversy.
Well, long story short, what has happened is that there's a group of scientists and election reform activists, I guess, that have kind of looked at the variance between exit polls and voter turnout and some other data points like that, and they've concluded that there are enough statistical anomalies to investigate, and so. This group of people, which includes a man named John Bonifaz from one of the election reform nonprofits that are out there, originally approached John Podesta over at Clinton's campaign probably about now 3 weeks ago. And they seemed ambivalent about it, didn't commit either way. So then they took this package of these three states of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania that they wanted to investigate. And they took it to Jill Stein, and she decided to sign on. It's not clear to me whether or not the libertarians were approached or anyone else. And so that's kind of where we're at this point. Jill Stein did approach the national co-chairs, the steering committee of the Green Party of the United States, and requested that we sign on as fiscal sponsors. We did not have consensus. We're typically, that's our way of making decisions, is via consensus.
Right.
So it actually came down to a vote, and the vote failed. And so we are not participating in this recount in any material way. We, at this point, we have not issued any support in, or any statement in support or against. You know, the Green Party has longstanding principles of electoral reform. You know, we advocate for paper ballots and all these other things like this. It looks like Wisconsin will probably go forward. There's been some reporting that she wanted a hand count. Wisconsin refused, and so she apparently is suing them. It looks like she may have to sue and request a statewide ballot count in Pennsylvania because the individual county by county process that they have was denied. And she just filed Michigan yesterday, I believe. So all states have been filed. It's not clear whether any of them are going to go forward at this point. Did I get all those questions?
I think so. I'm sorry. I just kind of bombarded you. But the thing is that, you know, we on the left, and especially outside of the two-party system, I belong to the Peace and Freedom Party in California, and we recognize that the system is flawed, deeply flawed. We recognize that there is electoral malfeasance in all 50 states. You know, we understand that, but we still sign up to play in their, you know, play their what I call reindeer games, their rigged reindeer games. And the thing is, when you look at the complaint that she filed in Wisconsin, it's about foreign agents or agency interference with rigging the voting machines. And that, to me, was something that Hillary Clinton's campaign has said for since the expose of the emails during the DNC. It's all about Rush. It's not about what was contained in the emails. It's all about what, you know, Russian interference and Russian hacking, when there's absolutely no proof of that. Yes, there's proof, statistical proof of, you know, people of exit polls not matching the results. But then again, people lie when they come out of exit polls. And I know there's so many people who have good hearts that they say, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein, or I'm going to vote for Gloria LaRiva, and the places we had a chance to vote for Gloria, but they get into the ballot box and they freeze. They freeze and they vote for who they think is going to be the lesser of two evils. So one of the controversies that we're seeing is that she didn't appear that she filed based on those kinds of inconsistencies, that she filed based on some kind of Russophobia, some kind of Clinton talking point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speaking for myself strictly here.
Right, this, right.
Even though this is a common theme that we're seeing among people who oppose this recount, and that is, you know, these are talking points straight out of the McCarthy playbook. You know, I mean, this is red baiting like we haven't seen in a long time from someone who is in a party who that just passed an anti-capitalist plank, right? This is, in my opinion, and my own feeling, is that the rationale that was included in those filings is completely insupportable. You know, especially coming from a candidate who not even 2 years ago was bouncing around Russia and trying to meet Putin. So, you know, not that I'm here to endorse, you know, things that Putin does. I mean, that's for the Russian people to act upon, right?
Right.
You know, but the fact of the matter is that she was demonstrating at that point that this diplomacy with Russia was important, and now all of a sudden it's not. And the rationale that was used in those filings, because Michigan's filing has very much the same kind of verbiage as well. I mean, she's only using the examples that have to do with the Democratic Party, you know, and in the Green Party, you know, first of all, you know, I have to point out that, you know, anybody who is looking for revolution and really looking for system change, we have to be honest about the fact that it's not going to be found at the ballot box.
Right.
What I as a leftist do, what I as a socialist do within the Electoral Party is to create pockets of daylight so that the working class can get strong and fight and build and win, right?
Right.
Because ultimately we know we need to set the system aside. So that's what I concentrate myself on. And so we cannot support the motives and the objectives and cannot give air cover to these two capitalist parties on the right. And I should say three capitalist parties on the right, if I include the Libertarian Party as well. And so they do not serve the working class. They do not create daylight for the working class. We've seen the aftermath of 20-something years, four administrations of these neoliberal neocon policies that have been so destructive. And so for us to give aid and comfort to these ideals that are coming out of the DNC, straight out of their spin room, is just, to me, it's unconscionable. I know this sounds very harsh. I respect the work, the barnstorming that Jill Stein has done to help raise the profile of the Green Party, and she's worked very hard to do that. We're very respectful of that, but this is insupportable, as I said.
Well, and it's clearly she didn't do very well in the national elections. But the thing is, 2000, Bush, whatever you want, you don't want to say one, but 2000, there was Bush and there was a recount in Florida. 2004, Bush again, and the Green Party, the nominee at that point was David Cobb, and in 2004, the Green Party ran that, to me, insupportable safe state strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Green Party was, they were involved in Ohio, the hundreds of irregularities that were documented in Ohio. So that was 2004. 2008, Obama, no recounts. 2012, Obama, no recounts. No recounts. 2016, Trump. Recounts and the states, and one of the main controversies of the Jill Stein campaign, I don't want to say Green Party because you pointed out it's not the Green Party,
right?
The Stein campaign, the criticisms is she only wants to recount, or she's only demanding recounts in the states that Clinton narrowly lost. And so it gives the appearance of that she's helping the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton, and many people, right or wrong, are saying that she's accepted some kind of some money for, and so that gives it, whether that's true or not, and it's probably not true. I too respect Jill Stein. I know her, but the thing is, it gives the appearance,
right,
of collusion with the Democratic Party, and like you said, we on the left, doesn't matter if we're green or socialist or independent or whatever, we on the left need to reject it and say, so what? You lost. We were trying to beat you, and we wanted to beat you.
Right. The optics on this whole thing are really, really, off kilter. I don't want to speculate about what, I would assume, because I do know Jill myself as well. I would assume that she's not particularly getting any kind of remuneration or anything like that. So, what we can make a healthy assumption about, though, is that the money that she's fundraised so far, there is a sizable, probably the lion's share is coming from Democratic Party rank and file, who, yes, they wanted Gore to fight in 2000. They wanted Kerry to fight in 2004. And they absolutely want Hillary Clinton to fight, today in 2016. I mean, this is, for people who still are hanging on to the Democratic Party, they're just hanging on by the skin of their teeth, and they want some sort of relief. And so it stands to reason anybody with any amount of logic is going to say, yes, it is in the interest of a Democratic Party rank and file voter to fund this thing. So that's who we see, that's who we can logically conclude is supporting this, but one of the principles that we have in the Green Party, it's one of our 10 key values, is grassroots democracy. One of the biggest reasons why those of us in the opposition in the national co-chairs declined to participate was because this was a decision that was not arrived at with that basic principle of grassroots democracy. And in practice, what that would mean is that we would say, okay, they're asking Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and this was a point that I raised. Neither one of those state parties are on a knife's edge trying to achieve ballot access or party recognition within the state party. Uh-huh. They're all secure state parties. You know, we're in the business of growing the state party, at least from the national party perspective, if not from her campaign's perspective. So if that's not going to help our state parties, you know, the couple of instances that I raised, number one, in North Carolina, she was on the ballot as a write-in. They are not counting any of her votes as write-ins because the lame duck governor who got defeated in his re-election over HB2, the anti-gay legislation, is tying up the system by insisting on recounts for his own race, right? So they haven't even gotten to those write-ins for Jill yet, you know, in North Carolina. So that's that example. And another really important example, we know, you know, whether you supported Bernie Sanders or not, we know that there was big anomalies that happened during the Democratic primary in California. If we are a party that is trying to achieve 5%, it makes sense for us to go in after the votes that really probably belong to us that, you know, I would even speculate that the Clinton campaign managed to engineer away from us. I say that say this with no proof. I'm saying this with keeping in mind the Bernie Sanders supporters in California who really feel like there were huge, huge anomalies there, right? So given that there was that testimony, it makes sense for us to go into California and demand a recount. Let's see if we can't boost some totals. Let's see if we can't strengthen the position of the Green Party there. Again, keeping in mind that our job as a national party is to grow and strengthen the Green Party, right? So there are a few examples like this that had we been able to collaborate on the decision-making process in our normal grassroots democracy fashion, those would have come forward, and maybe we would have been able to adjust this so that the optics of this would not appear that we are carrying water for Hillary Clinton. Do I think Jill Stein is out to carry water for Hillary Clinton? I don't think so. But if you don't open your ideas up to scrutiny and sounding off and getting support and input from your allies, you run the risk of creating the wrong situation that looks the wrong way to people who are observing what's going on and who depend on the integrity of the Green Party.
Well, Andrea, I really, you know, with her trying to pull Sanders in, even though Sanders was an imperialist, as Sanders to me doesn't conform to the 10 key values of the Green Party, maybe a few of them, but not the 10 key values of the Green Party. And to word her complaints using Clinton, Clinton talking points, it seems that she's trying to raise a profile of herself with centrist Democrats. And it's great to say that we would like a recount or even a count in North Carolina, or that we want to challenge the count in California, which, you know, was, I live in California, so obviously there was a lot of hanky-panky in California. They haven't even counted all the votes yet. I think that the Green Party wouldn't, I don't think that you all would be able to raise that money, because she only raised like $3.5 million this whole cycle, and she's raised almost double that in a week to recount the states that Hillary Clinton narrowly lost.
Right. Right. And so, you know, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, what is this about? And I don't mean to intend anything nefarious on her part. Right. I don't have any evidence of that. But what is this about? Is this about raising money, or is this about doing the right thing, right? Because what this situation has really brought up, really teased up to the surface, is the issue of class and how we see it in this party.
Right.
I am of the group of people, and I'm of the mind that believe that really the future of the Green Party, because we have the asset of ballot recognition and we're the fourth largest party in the country, our future is not going to be with those, you know, for lack of a better term, petty bourgeois people. Who not totally, they were not the only ones that supported Bernie Sanders, but they were, you know, there was plenty of people that at least, you know, facilitated that mentality and kind of glossed over Bernie Sanders' record, right?
Right.
But, you know, we as a Green Party are not going to do what we need to do if we do not start paying attention to the needs of the working class. Right. And so what that means is that, you know, you're not going to raise enough money to do all these, you know, high glitzy, high profile recounts. So where is it that makes sense according to our values? The whole campaign long that we're talking about frontline communities. And of course, that comes from the environmental world where you talk about the communities who are often the poorest that have to face the ravages of environmental destruction, right? You think about the Philippines and, you know, you think about New Orleans and places like that where people were really economically deprived. So, you know, we talked a lot about frontline communities. We made this big show of going to Standing Rock to stand with the Native American water protectors, you know, this sort of thing. So if we're going to walk that walk, we better talk that talk by sacrificing and standing on principle and fundraising and doing the best that we can instead of trying to cozy up to the capitalist parties, right? I am one of the people that did not agree with the strategy to try to bring in Bernie Sanders. You know, logically, if you're an electoral campaign, you need the support of people that are not Greens. We only have about 250,000 registered Greens throughout the country. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that in many states, they don't have party registration. You know, Colorado, we do. So it made political sense to align yourself. But then we started getting into this business of glossing over the fact that Bernie Sanders, you know, approved every appropriation bill for Israel that ever came across his desk, you know, voted no on the Iraq war, but voted to fund the military without question at every turn. We ignore the fact that not once in his congressional career in either chamber did he ever sponsor any legislation or co-sponsor any legislation that was civil rights in nature, right? It doesn't matter how many pictures that you have, you know, in some ambiguous protest, if you're not passing legislation for civil rights, you know, heck, even John Lewis has a better track record, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then I'm not personally going to ever forget his yes vote to cut food stamps in 2014 by $8 billion in the 2014 ag bill. That's just indefensible to me. And there's a whole lot of other things that people were willing to just gloss over and that we probably facilitated by trying so hard to pander to him and bring him on board. I have to tell you, when it first came out, the news hit the wires that she had appeared to offer her seat to Bernie Sanders. I'm one of the five people that were selected by the Colorado Greens to represent them at the presidential nominating convention that we had in Houston. Mm-hmm. The delegates in Colorado were in revolt and wanted. We're going to ask the state party to release them from being declared as Jill Stein supporters, right? And I let it be known that Colorado was going to deaffiliate unbind themselves from her because of this. And of course, she had to kind of, you know, patchwork some, you know, clarifications and things like that together. But this was not, we did not intend, we're not, in Colorado, at least the delegates were not here to support Bernie Sanders. If we wanted Bernie Sanders, we could have, you know, joined the Democrats.
Exactly. Andrea, you've been really a great interview, and I'm so glad I asked you on. We are running out of time, and I have another observation that I'd like you to comment on. It's not about the Green Party. It's not about Jill Stein. It's really about the left. And the thing is my... Oh, by the way, I said that she was pandering to Sanders, and I made up the word Sandering. So she wasn't the only one. So the thing is I saw You know, she's raising millions of dollars, and the money's going to go to the states. The money's going to go to attorneys. The money's really going to prop up the election industrial complex. And then they're calling for volunteers for the recount in Wisconsin. And so they're calling for probably poor Green Party members because, you know, we on the left wing, we're not rich. We don't have a lot of money usually. But they're, you know, but they're, then they're sending all these millions to the election industrial complex, the already rich lawyers, the already rich states, how undemocratic it is that you have to pay over $1 million for a recount is just incredible. And it's just, and it's a problem on the left. We expect everybody to volunteer. We don't say, oh, we're going to pay you a fair wage to do this or whatever. And maybe if we did that, we would have more energy. It's like, I can't afford to pay anybody a fair wage, but what if I did that? And then maybe the boomerang effect would be that we'd be able to fund our programs.
Right. You know, one thing, it is true, the Green Party is an all-volunteer situation. I mean, I have I am not a wealthy person by any means. I serve as a volunteer more than full time as a national co-chair, and this goes all the way down the food chain, right? We're all volunteer. I do need to point out that none of the money that's being collected for the recounts is actually going to any state or local party anywhere.
Right.
This is going to go to the Democrat, the former Democrat Party chair. Lawyer that she's hired in Wisconsin. This is going to the PR firm that she hired. That their clients include Barack Obama and what is her name from? I forget, the senator from Massachusetts. Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
You know, those are some of the clients that they have. You know, Food and Water Watch, you know, just the NGO PR firm. So that's where that money's actually going in addition to the filing fees. But, you know, there is a movement within the party to recognize that, you know, if all work has value, then we better value it. Many of us, especially like, for example, in my Denver local, are part of this wave to charge member dues. You know, and we have a flexible kind of a situation for folks that that can't pay because, you know, a lot of our members are among homeless, right? Mm-hmm. So, but we can't continue to have this NGO model of trying to get things done with volunteers and that sort of thing. No, we have to fund our revolution, right? And so,
I mean, we need full ties.
Yeah.
So I do want to talk about one thing is the letter that was written by leading members of the Green Party and that other people can sign on to, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So the letter is at flowersforsenate.org/greenspeakoutrecount. You'll see it on Margaret Flowers's website. You know, she ran for Senate in Maryland and actually did pretty well. I think she got like 3% of the vote in Maryland.
Nice.
Essentially, you know, we're seeking to recalibrate what it is that we do and are calling to account, you know, in a comradely way for Jill Stein to recalibrate the reason why she's doing things. You know, we're calling out the fact that, you know, this recount is not, for example, focusing on those counties where black and other working class votes were completely disenfranchised, right?
Right.
We're going into Michigan, but we're not talking about the disenfranchisement of the voters in Flint. For example,
no, just that the Russians or foreign agents,
right? Well, yeah,
tampered with the,
you know, and basically we're asserting that we must be independent of the two capitalist parties.
Absolutely,
you know,
that's why I signed the letter. I'm not agreeing, but I, like I said, I think it affects all of us here on the left who want to be independent of the two capitalist parties who see this collaboration as counter-revolutionary.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we're just kind of, you know, speaking our minds on this, you know, because she's got the bully pulpit right now, but, you know, she needs to understand that the undemocratic way that this was pursued, it really can't be allowed to go on without critique. You know, I know that there's a lot of, you know, worry within our green rank and file about the split in the party and this and that and the other. And I need to point out that because we're not a party that supports censorship, then it is okay for us to have the healthy debate around this. We need to recalibrate our values. We need to have open discourse on it. We can do that in a comradely way, in a solutions-oriented way, that we don't tear each other down. I mean, we need to focus on facts, but we need to really have a deep soul-searching about where we're at. That, you know, the truth of the matter is that even though the FEC allows campaigns to operate in perpetuity, you know, it really is time for Jill Stein to power down her campaign and start to cede the role of party building back to where it belongs, and that's in the Green Party itself, where we can do things democratically, we can properly support our state party partners, you know, where we can start having that conversation about what we need to do to contribute to the efforts of the left in general, right? You know, we signed that anti-capitalist plank not too long ago as a part of our platform now, and I can't tell you the groundswell of support that we've had from among the left. And this is just a small increment. I think in a lot of ways in your party that you've actually been able to articulate much more clearly some of those goals of the left, and so that needs to be applauded. But you know, we've gotten a lot of support from young leftists who want to be part of this. And so we need to focus on those opportunities. People are just handing themselves over to us. And so we need to start having dialogue with them and not be trying to play this old boy capitalist bourgeois sort of a network, those games. That's not the pool that we want to swim in, especially not when half of all people who were eligible to vote just absolutely opted out.
Right.
I don't blame them. I don't call them, bad voters. I don't disparage them in any way because they had the sense enough to not aid and abet their own destruction. Right.
Right.
So I respect the principles and the reasons why they chose not to participate. And so that's, you know, we need to be talking to folks like that. You know, we need to not be worrying about what the capitalist parties are doing and trying to swim in the pool because we can't compete there. We don't belong there.
I don't want to swim in the pool that they pissed and crapped in anyway. I'd rather swim in our clean pool. Well, Andrea, I think with activists like you and the other people I know who helped write the statement, I think that this is a good opportunity for the Green Party to grow stronger and grow in those directions. I remember how excited you were on Facebook when the Green Party passed that plank at the convention in Houston. It was like a million exclamation points.
Yeah, I'm pretty expensive, but that was over the top. I was really over the top about it. I was just really proud of us. And, you know, it passed 80% in our national committee. And then at our convention in Houston, it was a unanimous voice vote. So, you know, and, you know, a big applause broke out and everything. So this clearly is a direction that the rank and file of the party wants to go in. We ought to do that.
Well, Andrea, it's great to finally talk to you, and I'm really glad I did. This has been a wonderful interview, and hang in there and be strong, and let's work together.
Yes,
for true revolution. Thank you for being on the Soapbox this week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Soapbox for this week. I really liked that conversation I had with Andrea, and I hope you liked it too. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar. I'd like to thank Andrea Merida Cuellar I'm such a gringa. My Spanish pronunciation is terrible. Anyway, I'd like to thank Andrea for her work and for taking the time to be on the Soapbox. Please check out the petition and the newsletter and Cindy Sheehan Soapbox for more information. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to the Soapbox. Peace out for now.